Well, you certainly know how to compliment a woman. Well, if you'll excuse me.
Do you know who I am?
No, I can't say that I do.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Really?
People know me.
Well, I'm very happy for you.
Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one, zero.
Hi, I'm Rob Hartnett, and you're listening to Kizzy's Friday Game Changers.
Kizzy's Friday Game Changers, taking your business to the next level.
Coming up on Kizzy's Friday Game Changers.
You need to find those best practices and the new best practices in this kind of Zoom segregated world.
And also,
if you haven't slept well in like a week's time at any point in time, make sure to kind of like have that as a wake-up call for you.
All of this plus a great elevator pitch from author, holistic nutritionist and gut health consultant Sarah Spann, a book of the week recommendation from Jane Carley of Make More Noise PR, and brilliant music from Roger Rosa, CEO of Cleveland-based marketing and public relations firm The Eisen Agency. Fridays just became a whole lot more interesting. Don't go away.
Welcome to Kizzy's Friday Game Changers
with your host Kizzy Nkwacha,
the show for innovators and motivators, people just like you.
Kizzy is the publisher of Business Game Changer magazine and the property investor, editor of the successful Women in Business book series
and the best-selling Every Entrepreneur's Guide series.
Every week, Kizzy and his guests provide you with the tools you need to take your game-changing business to the next level.
Listen, learn, and innovate.
Now meet your host, your mentor, and your fellow game changer, Kizzy Nkwacha.
Hello and welcome to Kizzy's Friday Game Changers. This week I'm joined by Johnny Wahlstrom, CEO and co-founder of Mentimeter, a Stockholm-based startup which through an interactive software platform makes meetings more enjoyable, engaging and productive. With many people facing the prospect of another period of lockdown, Johnny and I are going to be discussing the implications and drawbacks of a remote future workplace and specifically the emerging issue of Zoom segregation. Don't go away.
I'm Brian Stolle, founding partner of Wildcat Venture Partners.
Hey, Tangela Lee here, all the way from Melbourne, Australia. I'm a leadership and mindset specialist for real estate and property professionals.
Hi, I'm Jonathan from Amplify.
Hi, I'm Johnny Combe, CEO of Payback4 UK.
I'm Kenneth Hafianyo, the founder of Jobwefa, an ethical fashion brand based in Ho, Volta Region, Ghana. My Friday is never the same without Kizzy's Friday Game Changers.
Welcome to the show. This week, I have the honor and privilege of breaking bread with Johnny Wahlstrom, CEO and co-founder of Mentimeter. But before we jump into today's conversation, I've got a note to remind me that Business Game Changer magazine and Work From Home Game Changer magazine are updating their groundbreaking book, providing valuable insight, advice, and analysis on what the coronavirus means for business sectors and how we can adapt to the changes it brings. The book, Running a Business in Times of Crisis, is an essential guide for business owners looking to survive and maintain profitability during and after the uncertainty of the coronavirus. Now, Running a Business in Times of Crisis is produced by Business Game Changer magazine, got to say it all at once, and Work From Home Game Changer magazine as a digital publication and paperback, and it's distributed through Amazon, selected bookstores, and the Athena publishing website. Now, each contributor will be credited for their chapter, and we'll also publish a link back to your website. Now, to contribute to Running a Business in Times of Crisis, email wearegamechangers@outlook.com. The address one more time is wearegamechangers@outlook.com. We look forward to hearing from you. That's it. Job done. And the bills have just been paid. Johnny, it's amazing to have you join me.
Well, thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine. I've been looking forward to this conversation for such a long time. Johnny, let's start at the very beginning. Now, you co-founded Mentimeter back in 2016. And the company's vision was to become an interactive presentation platform that makes remote and in-person meetings more engaging and productive by allowing for real-time interaction between presenters and their audiences. Well, we flash forward to here and now, to 2020, and Mentimeter has a staff of over 120 people. You reach over 125 million people in 200 countries. Johnny, how did this happen? More specifically, how did the idea for Mentimeter come about?
Well, thank you. It was actually 2014, so a couple of years before that. But me and my co-founder were working as young professionals, five, six years into our careers. And what normally you do in that phase, you are one of these youngsters who begin to lead meetings and hold presentation and workshops. So he was a management consultant, and I was a project manager. And even the meetings that was done pre-COVID was really boring and really non-engaging. So we thought that we would build, the product that we ourselves wanted. So Mentimeter became our weekend hack that we developed over a couple of months that we brought back to work. So I brought it to my workplace and Niklas to his. And sooner than later, we also found out that it was not only us who thought this was a fun idea, where you as a leader could listen to an audience in such a simple way that they just brought up their phones from pockets and then kind of engaged with us. So quite soon we found that we were getting hundreds and thousands of registrations, even from people that we didn't know. And that was kind of the trigger for us to start working full time with the company. That wasn't really the goal at first. It was really like this was the product that we wanted ourselves. And then a couple of months, a year in, we really understood that this was a thing that we're aimed of becoming a big thing and bigger than just a product for ourselves.
You must have been pretty amazed at how quickly the business grew, because from 2014 to now, your customers included Microsoft and even the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And we have over 68,000 paying customers today. So it's really... it's a blessing to kind of get all the feedback that we get on how we can improve business and education life out there. So about 20% of our customers are in the educational space. So Imperial College, for example, in London is one of our customers. And then the majority of our customers are regular, business people who want, to change the way that they lead their meetings and presentations and their companies from a more of a talking leadership style to more of a listening leadership style.
What would you say were the early challenges you faced getting Mentimeter off the ground, and how did you overcome them?
One of the things that we got a bit of pushback on early on was our go-to-market, actually. So Mentimeter's go-to-market is via the virality of the product. So when you as a leader create the presentation, you engage an audience, if it's your colleagues or a customer or your students. And both the experience for you as a leader, but also the experience for the audience is so valuable that they spread the information, the news about our product. And that's our go-to-market. But when we were founded and when we got our first angel investment, we got a quite hard pushback from investors that they wanted to see a more traditional go-to-market where we called up CMOs and CIOs at big organizations and said that Mentimeter is a great tool for your workforce to be more collaborative and engaged. So please buy a couple of thousand of licenses. And this was the one thing that we, one of the bets that we, me and Niklas did really early on that has really paid off now. And how we overcome that was that we really went deep into this kind of the strategy of that we even founded this company and the target group of it, that the target group for a product was this mass market of leaders out there that want to change the way that they lead. And to be able to reach that, we proved in our strategy that we needed to be a product first company. But that was kind of a big discussion amongst our kind of angel investor community at the first year.
I can imagine that once you've got an angel investor on board, there's an element of control that you're losing a little bit. It must have been quite a struggle for you because this is somebody that's funding your dream and they've got very clear ideas of what you should do next. But you also had ideas of what your vision was. So a lot of it had to be quite a political conversation, I'd imagine.
Yeah, but in a way, but also like when, and I guess that's also a recommendation for anyone who takes in investment. It doesn't matter if it's an angel investors or a venture capital or whatever, that they trust in you to do what you need to do to make the company successful, because you will also change strategy along the way as you build the company. And if you constantly need to kind of engage in political struggle with your backers, you will slow down and potentially also risk in taking the wrong decision, being pushed from someone who's on the outside. So I think it's really important to choose who your backers are when you go down that route as well.
How would you describe the company culture at Mentimeter?
We have a very, I would say, a safe, ambitious culture, I would say. Actually, a great KPI for me that I'm very proud of is that we're 120 employees now. And since the fall of 2015, so over 5 years, five people have left the company. So we are a company where people can kind of, either if they start their career straight of university or if they come here after 5, 10, 15 years, they find something where they can blossom both as a person as well as professional. So we base this, the reason why we can have this, I think, is that we are a culture-driven organization. So kind of our core values are the how we work together, and those are core values that everyone are recruited with, are onboarded accordingly, and then are evaluated on every 6 months. So it's really the foundation and the DNA of the company.
When you are recruiting members of your team, are you recruiting according to their attitude or according to their skill set?
Both. So we have a four stage interview process where one stage is competence and one stage is culture. And culture in our meaning is based on our five core values. And those are very attitude based, like or very close to like how you do things. And the competence is what you do. Our core values, like to give example, our core values are include everyone, work smart, act with a consultant mindset, be humble, and have fun. So one thing about I can take act with a consultant mindset, because that's often the one thing that people are a bit thrown off with. It's like kind of weird core value. But for us, a good consultant is a person who seeks feedback, who's very good in communicating, and who takes a big personal responsibility of getting a task done. And that's how you work. And we need everyone at Mentimeter to live up to those how. And then if everyone can trust that everyone else at Mentimeter does this, we have a very safe and kind of productive and fast moving organization. So it's on your question there, it's both.
Okay, it's interesting because your core values are work smart, be humble, have fun, and that with a consultative mindset. Now, I think that consultative mindset is probably the most critical because that's the one that creates that atmosphere of inclusion and that people have been listened to. Because you often find that in many organizations, when they do have these meetings, it's usually because they have something they want to tell somebody or tell their team. And that's usually it. It's not really about listening.
Mm. No, exactly. And we, if our promise to our customers that we want to deliver kind of a product that they can listen with, we also need to be that ourselves. So we cannot deliver what we're not in the organization. So we're not listening to our colleagues, our customers, ourselves. We cannot do that. We cannot build a product. And it goes in the same way for diversity. If something that the product delivers as a value to our customers is that it includes people that might not have been included before, you know, the classic silent person in the back of the room that never ask a question, with Mentimeter, he or she can ask a question anonymously on the phone and in real time, the leader of the meeting could pick that up and both a good question get asked, but also that person feels more engaged and we cannot. We as an organization need to be a diverse organization with both introverts, extroverts, but a good gender balance, a good international balance and culture balance, age balance, for example. And that's why under our core value, include everyone, is also the diversity aspect that we really hold high.
We're talking about diversity and including everybody. I guess we're now at that point where we are now facing the prospect of possible lockdowns, of an extended period of time working from home and not being in contact with anybody else. Johnny, what would you say are the implications and drawbacks of a remote future workplace?
But I think we can also see that in the growth of Mentimeter. Like before remote work became a thing here in February, March, we grew with 100% year over year. We had almost 70 million users. So like we were still a huge platform and really used by many in meetings, mostly in real life, so to say. But since remote work, we have grown even faster. So right now, like if we look at this week or this month, we grow with over 200% on a yearly basis. So this really shows that there is a bigger need for people when you're separated by a screen to include people even more. Like as soon as you become, I can just, you know, from my own experience, as soon as you become more than five people on a call, it's really hard to kind of read everyone in the room. And if five people in a meeting room is much easier than that. So I think the kind of, if we would stay in a remote environment, I think we need to change a lot of the ways of working that we've been used to in the real world office environments. And you can see that there's quite many kind of IT web development companies who are remote nowadays, who was built remotely, you know, 10 plus years ago already. And they have quite a different way of working than a company based in an office, and if we would prolong this long enough, I think that we need to change a lot of the ways of working and kind of align to that way of thinking.
I think the ways of working are changing regardless of what we do. So I guess the challenge is to make sure the change benefits us as a business and our customers and our staff.
Yeah, no, they're definitely, exactly. And we're talking about a hybrid solution. So at least to start with, because this is not gonna be go back to normal from one day to another. So it's going to be over a period of time where it's a hybrid solution, where in the end, most companies will probably go back to being office-based. But this hybrid solution as well, it's an interesting one where people who are not in the room, so to say, that they're not they cannot feel a second class meeting participant. And how do you bridge that? Because it's even if it's hard when everyone is on a call through a Zoom meeting or Microsoft Teams, it's even harder when like three people are calling in and then four people are in the room to not kind of tip the room to favor the people in the room.
So is this what Zoom segregation is all about then?
But exactly, I think that that's a really good word for exactly that. So, but it's both when everyone is remote, you're segregated because we as humans are so used to the in-person interaction and you read so much into not only what people say but how you say it, and then that's I guess when you don't have that, adding technical or product support to bridge that, like Mentimeter and other services alike, can be a help. So that's one type of Zoom segregation, but also Zoom segregation in the merged world where three people call in and four people on in the room. Everything from just how fluent the discussion is IRL versus over Zoom might be a couple of milliseconds of lag, for example. But also the thing that happened, at least at Mentimeter, when you say that you're closing a meeting down, and you put your computer down, and then it's like, I just thought about something, and then on the way to the coffee machine, you actually will have maybe the conclusion of the discussion in that walk. And then obviously you kind of zoomed the people who called in off already. So that's also one of the kind of important principles to, you need to find those best practices and the new best practices in this kind of Zoom segregated world.
It sounds as though that if we are going to adopt and embrace this idea of hybrid working, some people working from home, some people working from an office, it could, if we're not careful, create an us and them mentality. So we're almost going back to an era where there's a clear division between people, but now the division is whether they're working from home or working face to face with you.
Yeah. No, absolutely, and that is a risk, and on both ends. Like depending on what company it is and what culture and where people kind of come from, you can say that the people at the office is the first class citizen because there you hang out, you talk to people, etc. But you can also see that people are the ones who are remote have more personal freedom. They also depending on how fast the pandemic pass, they can also be seen as taking more kind of responsibility for society in general, and that can be a kind of a shaming factor for people who really for many mental reasons want to spend time with people at the office because they live alone, they might have moved to the city where they want to work from another country. So for personal mental health reasons, they want to come to an office, but people who have worked remotely now for soon 9 months doesn't really see that or have that need. So you need to be very understanding and listening again, colleague to colleague in what needs that everyone have in this new world.
Yeah, but I think we can all relate to that, Johnny. But hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break and come back to our conversation in a few minutes. This week's incredibly talented entrepreneur, this week's boss star is Roger Rosa, the owner and CEO of Cleveland-based marketing and public relations firm, The Eisen Agency. Now, The Eisen Agency provides marketing communications, business development, and PR services to clientele across the US and throughout the globe. Now, Roger's also the global chairman of the Public Relations Agency Owners, the PRAOA. Now, that's a mouthful. But when Roger's not making, molding, and mobilizing public opinion, he's writing and performing some amazing music. Here he is, Roger Rosa, singing Moonshine. Take it away, Roger.
Funny how the full moon shines, the beauty of the sound outside when I'm quiet. And I hear every breath. Funny how that drop of water feels like a childhood laughter when everywhere is life and death. A cigarette burns, my bottle dries. I can't think I live in lies. And you did this to me. Can't you see?
I am Andrew Komnenos, sales and performance strategist, and this is Kizzy's Friday Game Changers, the world's number one podcast experience.
My cigarette burns, my tabs are paid. I can't drive, but so I stayed. And you did this to me. Can't you see?
Hi, this is Rob Basso, CEO of Associated Human Capital Management, and you're listening to Kizzy's Friday Game Changers.
You're my life, you're my death, you're my soul, my empty breath. I can't think, I can't feel, I can't breathe. In your voice is my sound, you enlighten, you confound. I can't hear, I can't speak.
Get in touch with Kizzy's Friday Game Changers by emailing fridaygamechangers@email.com and follow us on Twitter by searching for Kizzy's Friday Game Changers.
Talk to me.
Kizzy's Friday Game Changers, Book of the Week.
I'm Jane Carley and I work for Make More Noise PR. We've been working with an entrepreneur who's blown us away with his passion and uniqueness, but also his success in business. He's Nigel Bottrell, and the book that I'm recommending is his aptly named Botty's Rules. His overriding strapline for the book is, if you want to make it big, you need to know the rules. The book tells a fascinating story, but also serves as a must-have reference tool for those running a business. The story is about Nigel, a guy from Leeds, who in 2002, at the age of 36, stepped off the corporate ladder to do his own thing, and less than 4 years later, he was a millionaire. Since then, he has built 9 separate million-pound businesses of his own. Botty's Rules is a must-read, as it's a no-frills account of how Nigel Bottrell did it. What worked well, what went wrong, his success, his triumphs, his mistakes, and his cock-ups. Interwoven through his story are Botty's Rules. These are his blueprint for super success in the 21st century of business, and a crucial reference tool for any business owner who wants to make it big. The book includes real-life examples, simple ideas and tips, practical exercises, and Botty's 29 Rules for Success. I couldn't put this book down when it landed on my desk, as it was far removed from the usual business Bibles that I have dipped in and out of. This one is relatable, humorous, and straight-talking, and massively inspiring.
Kizzy's Friday Game Changers Elevator Pitch of the Week.
Please stand back from the closing doors. Please select a level. Going up.
Hi, I'm Sarah Spann, author of Mind the Gut, holistic nutritionist and gut health consultant based in Brisbane, Australia. I'm dedicated to changing the paradigm of gut health and work with clients all over the world to help them overcome their digestive issues and heal their gut. I'm really passionate about empowering people to take control of their digestion and nurture themselves back to their most vibrant health so they can thrive in their lives. Visit me at sarahspann.net for free gut health resources and to get in touch.
Top floor, good luck.
Number one means you're always on top. You're on the number one.
I'm Levi Roots and you're listening to Kizzy's Friday Game Changers.
Welcome back. Before the break, you're listening to Roger Rosa, CEO of Cleveland-based marketing and public relations firm, The Eisen Agency. And Roger was performing Moonshine. And I'm in the studio talking to Johnny Wahlstrom, CEO and co-founder of Mentimeter. Now, Johnny, we're at the past, present and future part of the show. Now, don't panic. What it means is that I'm going to ask you three questions about your business past, your business present and future. And if we get this right, the answers will give us a unique insight into the mind of game changer Johnny Wahlstrom. Are you game?
Absolutely. Sounds fascinating.
Let's do it. Let's have some fun. Now, look, what you've got to do, you've got to close your eyes, put your feet up and imagine you can hear a clock ticking in the background. That's the sound of time passing by second after second. Now, let's hold hands. Imagine yourself traveling back in time. You meet the young Johnny Wahlstrom just starting out on his game-changing business journey. Now, Johnny, who likes to ask questions, asks you for advice. He wants to know one thing he must always make sure he does in business and one thing he must always make sure he never does in business. What do you tell him?
I would say that the thing to do is to really focus on the culture first aspect from start. So I think that that's the thing that really do that and really focus a lot of effort and energy on that, it will really pay off in the future. It's hard to see the ROI on it early on, but that I would say to myself even earlier than we understood it.
And so the idea of culture first, it sounds like the sort of thing that would be really difficult to justify to somebody who's determined to make a profit and conquer the business world, because you can't point to any figures to substantiate that, can you?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I think that now when I've both seen the what happened when we didn't do it at first, so the first year, and I saw it when we focused on it and how we built the organization from there, and also seen other organizations who done similar, maybe not as ambitious kind of organizational built as ourselves. So it's a long term game, I would say. So yes, you're correct. If you just want to the result next half year, then will probably not be your thing.
Okay, so culture first, because it's a long-term game. Okay, I understand that. What would you advise the young Johnny to make sure he doesn't do in business?
I would say that don't compare too much to others' stories. I think, and I'm one person who takes a lot of inspiration from other journeys and companies have been built entrepreneurs who's really successful. But I also don't, what I would say to Johnny that don't do is that try to copy paste. Take it in and merge it into your own. That's the thing that I would say don't do. Don't just copy paste.
Yeah, because I think that when we listen to other people's stories of success, what we're often hearing is a really carefully edited version of that story, because from A to B is never a straight road, is it?
Yeah, hindsight is 2020, or how do you say in English? It's really like, and you build success stories, build their own stories. So there's as many stories that is unsuccessful and as maybe then took the many of the choices that the successful did, and you won't find the answer in a nice written management book.
Yeah, so I reckon that I would like to have an autobiography made of my life on in the cinema, but I want it to be made while I'm still alive, so I could have a hand at writing the script.
Yeah, maybe memoirs in a couple of years' time then.
In a couple of years' time. I've got a few more things to do. But Johnny, if you could have one superpower, any ability, what would you have?
I want to be invisible, I think. Because I'm kind of curious, and it would be really fun to hear what people talk about when I'm not in the room.
You know the idea that be careful what you wish for? Because would you really want to be able to walk around and... Mind you, look, I've got a picture of you here, and you're quite a good-looking bloke, so why would you want to be invisible?
Oh, it's not about that. I think it's like... obviously, I want to be able to control it, but it would be so interesting to... Maybe it doesn't have to be people talking about me, but actually people talking about other things where... I can get into rooms and business meeting where I'm not really supposed to be, but I can be there thanks to being invisible. So it's kind of getting access to where I shouldn't have access to. Maybe it's kind of like a sneaky, curious personality trait.
See, as you're talking, I'm getting a chills going down up and down my arm, because I'm thinking, he's probably here now in this room with me, and he's just talking to me, and I can't see him.
You never know.
You never know. Okay, well, hopefully, when people are out of your company, they're saying amazing things, and I'm pretty sure they are anyway. Let's move into the present, Johnny. Let's move into the present. Who or what inspires you when you go through those periods when things are really difficult and you've got your back against the wall? What keeps you going?
Well, I really enjoy balancing my life. So what really inspires me is my fun friends, when I can have like a good night out or get invited home to a couple of friends and eat some dinner and drink a couple of bottles of wine, or really do something that is off business. I really enjoy that part of my life, and I think that that balance is really important for me to have the energy and to have the long-term perspective as I have as a kind of founder and entrepreneur.
Yeah, but you're a founder, you're an entrepreneur, you're responsible for, what, 120 people. I mean, how do you switch off? How do you tell yourself to stop thinking about all that business stuff?
Yeah, that's you just have to. So it's not really a trick. I think I have quite an easy time doing that. I had an advisor telling me then 2014 that if you haven't slept well in like a week's time at any point in time, make sure to kind of like have that as a wake up call for you. And I think I never slept a bad night due to the company. So I have quite an easy time to kind of so blur that out and be myself and really like enjoy my private life.
I think that with the idea of balance, we've got to look at what's happening now, because for a lot of us, we used to be able to switch off, because once we've left the office and we've commuted home, we are then in home territory, and everything else we could hopefully we could compartmentalize and say that's work because I'm now in my home environment. But because we're now all working from home, that demarcation has become really blurred, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's very, very hard now, and that's one of the things that we talk to our colleagues a lot about. To really do the ones who work from home, to really have your schedule set, really take real lunches, go for a walk at 5, make sure to you know, put your computer down, move away from where you sat to work, and kind of do a context switch. So that those blurred lines is really has caused a lot of pain and stress with some of our colleagues, and we really need to learn to adapt to that because this is not over yet.
Very wise words indeed. Well, that's the past and that's the present taken care of. Let's go, say, 100 years from now, when people are talking about the game changer, Johnny Vorstrom, what would you like them to say about you?
Hopefully they say that I was a fun person with big dreams that took care of people.
I like that. I'm pretty sure you're going to hit that goal and you're going to exceed it by a lot. I've had a note pushed under my nose as we're talking from my producer, and my producer says, hey, read this. Every year, Mentimeter uproots its entire... Is this true? You uproot your entire team and operation. This is before the pandemic. And for each month, you'd relocate to a new city. That can't be true, can it?
It is, actually. So we have done it since 2016. So 2016, we were 7 colleagues who went to San Francisco. And that was such an amazing experience. We were there for 4 months. It was something that we wanted to continue to do, but not at that kind of extensive period. So we decided to do a month. So the year after, we did 10 people, then 20 people, then 40 people. And this February, we were in Madrid and we were 70 people in total. Not everyone joining for a full month because we have family members, we have people who just moved to Sweden, or people who don't want to go away for months for any other choice. And they can join on their premise, let's say. They can choose if they want to come for 3 days or 1 week or exactly how they want to join. But this exercise really strengthening the personal bond between colleagues that normally don't work together as well. So now when we are 100 plus employees, getting into the psychology safety of a big group as this company is super important for us to be efficient and to be this safe company as we are and this trusted group of colleagues. This relocation, as we call it, really helped with that.
And you were spending up to €500,000 relocating to a new city at least once a year.
Yeah, nowadays it's kind of a costly project. But and again, this is one of the things that maybe is hard to do. If I would put it up in an Excel spreadsheet and do an ROI exercise on it, it's really hard to kind of understand where the payoff comes from. But this is one of the things where we say that we're a culture-driven organization. This is really the proof of that, and we happily invest those money into it.
Well, that's got to be the best example of putting your money where your mouth is that I've heard in a very long time. Congratulations and well done, Johnny. I've got my screen is flashing saying that we've gone way past our allocated time. Just before we wrap up, is there anyone you'd like to say hello to that might be listening to our conversation today?
Real. Of course, I want to say hi to my wife. I love you.
You've got to say that, haven't you?
Now, man, and now also you have a new listener, so I'm going to have her listening. I'm not going to say which episode I'm in, so she's going to have to listen to a handful or 10 before she reached this message.
Fantastic. Johnny, it's been an amazing experience getting to spend some time with you on Kids' Friday Game Changers. Thank you so much for sharing your insight and your wisdom.
Of course, it was a very enjoyable conversation. Thank you very much.
Well, the time I've spent with Johnny Wahlstrom makes me realize that remote working is this... it's this incredible invitation to get really good at building inclusive cultures where there's a wide variety of types of people, and also to build a culture where everyone feels included and everyone's experiencing ongoing growth and development on a regular basis. That's the challenge, and it's not an easy one, but the effort required is more than worthwhile. And if you've been listening to Johnny speaking, you realize that if you're a business owner or a manager, it's true that you can never over-communicate enough as a leader. But at a remote company, at a remote where everybody's working one place or 600 different places, nothing could be truer. Because you don't physically see people in person, information doesn't spread in the same way. So leaders like you need to do the heavy lifting for evangelizing the mission, getting the message out there. That's your responsibility. That's why people like Johnny Wahlstrom and companies like Mentimeter are such an essential part of the process. Listen, learn, and innovate. Playing us out is Roger Rosa, CEO of Cleveland-based marketing and public relations firm, The Eisen Agency. And Roger's performing Unknown Road. See you next week.
That's how it is, brother.
Call your friends and spread the word. Tell them the Kids' Friday Game Changer show is the best you've ever heard.
I walked away from memory, a dirty look. The stink on trouble is not who I am. Had some fun on a Saturday night. Nothing Sunday school couldn't make it right. I think I know what it takes to be a man. I took a walk and found I'm on this unknown road. On and on through the freezing cold. Walking
I'm Brian Stolle, founding partner of Wildcat Venture Partners, and my Fridays wouldn't be the same without Kizzy's Friday Game Changers.
Thinking now where this road leads, the path to hell is paved with good deeds. It's too late, just wait, let me decide. Let's take a walk together down this unknown.